Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on Joe and McKenzie. Listener discretion is advised.
We do Murder Monday to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips on any unsolved crime that might be in your area. You can call 800-222-TIPS. That's 800-222-TIPS. Liv the Web Girl, what are you doing today for Murder Monday?
Today I am talking about a story of someone who just seemed like a strange neighbor but turned out to be a murderer. So our story starts in 2011 with Stephen McDaniel, who is a recent law school graduate from Mercer Law School in Macon, Georgia. Stephen lived on the second floor of the Barristers Hall apartment complex right next to one of his law school classmates, Lauren Giddings. Lauren was a blonde, athletic 27-year-old who was known to others as being cheerful and social. Other than also being a Mercer Law School recent graduate, she had nothing in common with Stephen McDaniel. Stephen was 25 and was known on campus as being sort of odd. He was antisocial, withdrawn, and was more than just eccentric when he would interact with others. Stephen liked to be alone in his apartment with his video games, porn, guns, and swords. He liked to collect food almost like he needed it to survive if there was ever a shortage, and he also liked to collect empty containers. Stephen had a crush on Lauren during their 3 years of being next door neighbors. He had asked her out at least a couple of times, and Lauren would always decline his request because she had a boyfriend who was a lawyer in downtown Atlanta, and even if she didn't, Lauren always described Stephen to her friends as her strange neighbor who never went outside, so it's likely she would have declined his request anyways. But what she didn't know was that because he couldn't have her, he began to obsess over her. His browser history showed Google searches including Lauren Giddings nude in multiple variations of molesting sleeping girl.
Jeez.
Choke unconscious, how long wake up, and he also searched ways to escape prison. These searches were all between the months of April and May of 2011. Then, during the months of May and June, his browsing history showed a huge spike in his obsession of Lauren Giddings, going to her Twitter, her Facebook, her LinkedIn, her photo sharing websites, searching her on Google multiple times a day. He also began to watch a lot more porn, look up images of naked celebrities, read erotic fiction, and even look up child pornography. He then began to write his own erotic fiction containing violence and torture towards women. This helps to paint a very clear picture of who Stephen McDaniel really was. One of his last searches that he looked at in the early morning hours of June 26 was how to get past a door-jamming burglary bar that Lauren had on the inside of her front door for safety. Stephen knew about this bar because he had been watching her. From 9 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. on June 25th into early June 26, Stephen was walking around outside of Lauren's living room window and using a 6-foot stick with a digital camera attached at the top to watch Lauren in her apartment. At 4:30 in the morning on June 26, Stephen McDaniel used a master key that he stole from the apartment complex to unlock Lauren Giddings' door, while also defeating the burglary bar at the same time. A masked Stephen walks into Lauren's bedroom as she is sleeping, but Lauren hears something and wakes up and sees her intruder. When we come back, I will tell you what occurs that early morning in Lauren's bedroom.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on Joe and McKenzie. Listener discretion is advised.
Live the web, girl. What are you doing today for Murder Monday?
So when we left off, a masked Steven had broken into Lauren's apartment and was creeping into her bedroom when she wakes up and sees the intruder. She asks him to get the F out. And that's when Steven lunges on the bed and begins to choke her. They roll off the bed fighting, and Lauren rips off the face mask, recognizes her attacker, and says, "Steven, please stop." But he doesn't. He continues to strangle her for 15 more minutes until her body finally stops moving. He drags her body into her bathtub and went back to his apartment. Later that evening, on June 26th, Steven went back to Lauren's apartment and brought a hacksaw with him this time. He went to the bathroom and began to dismember her body while she laid dead in the bathtub. Her arms, legs, and head were removed and wrapped up in black trash bags and were eventually thrown away in the Mercer Law School dumpster. Steven took the mask he wore, the gloves, and the bloody t-shirt he was wearing and cut them up and flushed them down his apartment toilet. In the early hours of the morning on June 28th, Steven went back to Lauren's apartment, wrapped her torso in five trash bags, and threw it in the apartment building's trash bin. Then, on June 30th, police and detectives arrived to the apartment building to check up on the Lauren Giddings missing persons case. McDaniel knew that it was trash day, so he knew he was about to officially get away with Lauren's murder. What he didn't know was that the detectives were blocking the trash cans, and so the garbage man went about his day skipping the apartment's trash cans to allow the police and the detectives to continue with their job. This, coincidentally, is how they were able to find Lauren's torso at 9:40 a.m. that morning. Later in the day, Steven McDaniel was being interviewed by a local news station, and that's where he first finds out that they found her body while he was on live television.
I mean, we just don't know where she is.
What about in the, like, the parking lot area? I know they've been doing a lot of, I think that's where they have recovered the body or whatever they recovered from there.
Body?
Had you heard anything? Had you seen anything there? Had you seen anything there?
I
mean, we don't know if this is the same person. You know what I mean? Like, they took out a body there earlier. We don't know if it's the same person or not. So that's why we're trying to ask people if they know who lived there. Are you okay, sir?
I think I need to sit down.
Okay.
So Steven McDaniel found out on live television that they found the body. He thought the body got taken away by the dumpsters and that there was going to be no connection to him with this case. But he found out on live television, and it's one of the chilling, most chilling things I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm going to include that full news interview on the blog post that I make for this Murder Monday. So with this weird, bizarre public reaction, and then the things they found on his computer, along with a hacksaw they found with human flesh on it, they were able to arrest Steven. He was convicted on April 21st, 2014, and is still serving a life sentence. Detectives, police, and specialists believe that he was likely to become as brutal of a serial killer as Ted Bundy.
That guy, when he was confronted on live news, which, by the way, the thing I've learned from you during Murder Monday is these people often don't hide. They're like, oh, I really cared about this person, blah, blah, blah. Like, they do not hide behind the scenes. They're always inserting themselves into stuff. But he had the worst poker face. He was like, oh my God, I hope it's not her. But he's just like, quiet. Surprised right. He didn't like take off like, ah!
So in that video, you can see beforehand, he's extremely talkative. It's like, we miss her. Like, we don't know where she is. She goes running a lot. We think maybe something happened while she was out jogging. And then when he discovers that the police actually found a body, which would link him, he is stone cold. It is so chilling. All that will be up on our website, Joe and Mackenzie, later today.
Ugh, so sick.